4
onwards. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
यैवं वेत्ति पुरुषं प्रकृतिं च गुणैः सह सर्वथा वर्तमानोऽपि न स भूयोऽभिजायते ध्यानेनात्मनि पश्यन्ति केचिदात्मनात्मानं अन्ये साङ्ख्येन योगेन कर्मयोगेन चापरे अन्ये त्वेवधम च जान अन्ये त्वेवमजानन्त श्रुत्वान्येभ्य उपासते तेऽपि चातितरन्त्येव मृत्युं श्रुतिपरायणाः यावत् सञ्जायते किञ्चित् सत्त्वं स्थावरजङ्गमं क्षेत्रक्षेत्रज्ञसंयोगात् तद्विद्धि भरतऋषभ समं सर्वेषु भूतेषु तिष्ठन्तं परमेश्वरं विनश्यत्स्व विनश्यन्तं यः पश्यति स पश्यति समं पश्यन् हि सर्वत्र समवस्थितमीश्वरं न हि नस्यात्मनात्मानं ततो याति परां गतिं प्रकृत्यैव च कर्माणि क्रियमाणानि सर्वशः यः पश्यति तदात्मानम् अकर्तारं स पश्यति यदा भूतपृथग्भावम् एकस्तमनुपश्यति तत एव च विस्तारं ब्रह्म सम्पद्यते तदा अनादित्वान्निर्गुणत्वात् परमात्मायमव्ययः शरीरस्थोऽपि कौन्तेय न करोति न लिप्यते यथा सर्वगतं सौक्ष्म सर्वत्रावस्थितो देहे तथात्मानोऽपि लिप्यते यथा प्रकाशयत्येकः कृत्स्नं लोकमिमं रविः क्षेत्रं क्षेत्री तथा कृत्स्नं प्रकाशयति भारत क्षेत्रक्षेत्रज्ञयोरेवम् अन्तरं ज्ञानचक्षुषा भूतप्रकृतिमोक्षं च देवि दुर्यान्तिते परम् हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
हरे जयपुर
This philosophy concerning material nature, the living entity, and the interaction of the modes of nature is sure to attain liberation. He will not take birth here again, regardless of his present position. So these three things are said here, material nature, living entity, and the interaction of the modes of nature. Such a person can surely attain liberation. So we have to know the three truths. The living entity, namely all of us, and the material nature or the prakriti, then we also have the super soul. Who is the master of the living entity. Is it loud enough for everyone in the last row? Not loud? Yeah, it's not loud enough. Hare Krishna, now is it all right? So we were discussing earlier, if you remember, Purusha Prakriti Sohi Bhunkte Prakriti Janguna. The main problem of the living entity is that He thinks he is the enjoyer, isn't it? That is his main problem. So he has to get, what should he do to get out of this problem? He has to realize that the super soul is the real enjoyer, and I am simply a servant. Super soul is the master of the soul. He has to realize that. And the material nature is not controlled by me, it's controlled by super soul. One has to come to that point of realization. If one has understood the subject, that's the, actually the meaning. Now currently we are thinking that I am the controller, and I am the enjoyer, I am this body. We identify with all these things. So one has to come to the point of realizing these three things. Even in the fifth chapter it is explained. Naiva kinchit karomiti yukto manyeta tattvabhit pashyan shrinman sprishan jigran ashnan gachan shopan swasan indriyani indriyateshu vartanta iti dharayan, isn't it? He says that na eva kinchit karomi, I am not the doer. Iti yukto manyeta tattvabhit. One who is a tattvavit, he realizes that actually I am not the doer, but the prakriti is the doer. So it may be a little abstract to hear like this. What it exactly means is very simple to understand, at least with lucid examples. It's very easy to understand this. Theoretically we can understand it. But we have to come to the realization of that knowledge. Like for example, we have this material body in which we are sitting. We ourselves are not aware of the happenings within this material body, the changes that take place. Like if I get some disease in the body, I run to a doctor. Why? Because I am ignorant about the body, what is happening inside this body. We don't know in and out of our own body in which we are situated. If you remember, I was telling you in one of the classes that sometimes, you know, in your SSLC, in your 10th standard or something, they ask you any kind of, you know, particular kind of mole or something you have in your body, isn't it? They check, they write down in a note, in a record or something. Identification mark. Sometimes children go back to their parents and ask, do you know any identification mark in my body? My teacher is asking. Your own body you don't know. In our own body, what is where? We don't know. And the changes taking place in this body. So a careful examination will show us that although we are seated in this body is not in our control. Like Prabhupada is saying, the hair is growing. The nails are growing from the different parts of the body. The body is also changing in size. You are changing your dresses, isn't it? As the dress gets tighter, you remove it and then go for a bigger one. Larger size, the body is changing. So all these changes are happening in the body, but even we are not aware of how these changes are taking place because we are not causing it. What is causing it? What is... That's why he says, Karya karana kartrutve hetu prakritrucchate purusha sukha dukkana bhoktrutve hetrucchate, that we studied before. Which means we are only cause of our happiness and suffering. And how do we cause it? By desiring. But the material nature actually is controlled by super soul directly. So, yes, a simple realization is when I take a morsel of food and put it in the mouth, I don't know how it gets digested. I don't know how it turns into blood. I don't know how the heart is pumping the blood and going to different parts of the body, nourishing. How the brain is giving signals to different parts of the body and making all the limbs of the body function. So these are all highly complex things. Even doctors are amazed at the way the body is functioning. So material body is a highly complex machine that is functioning in very, very complex ways, and we are not controlling it. We don't have any control. Just like I was telling the example of a man, a driver, who is driving a Mercedes-Benz. But he doesn't have the key bunch with him. Who is having it? His master is having it. Although he is very proud that I am going in Mercedes Benz, he can't go in the Benz whenever he wants. Only when master tells him, come, now you take me there, take me here. Then only he can drive the car, although he may be driving that car. Similarly, somebody may be endowed with a beautiful body, but beautiful body also gets diseases. Someone may be endowed with a very intellectual body with a very very great intellectual capacity. Somebody may be high born, Brahmana family or something. Somebody may be born very rich. So even bodies which possess any of these special material qualifications make the people think that now I am in control. But actually they are not in control. They will see that eventually the control that we feel in our youthhood is taken off over a period of time. Who can realize this point? When we generally go beyond 40, 50, 60, people realize that actually my body is not in my control. Yeah, especially in young age, it's very difficult to realize this point. Because the youthful body is like a well-oiled machine. Yeah. Nicely overhauled the machine. Everything functions very nicely. You know, in youth, you know, when you dress tip-top, you know, coat, suit, tie, shoes, you wear a nice cooling glass and you jump on a moped, you feel I'm the controller. You feel like that, isn't it? You feel that very strongly. Everything is working according to my desire. One very strongly feels that. And the body is also, you can eat a stone also, you can digest it. People eat anything. They eat in the late night hours, they go to any hotel and eat anything. Yeah. So one feels, you know, everything is happening according to my desire. So because of that one thinks I am the controller. But as one gets older, when one becomes 40, 45, 50, you'll find that, you know, my hand, like, you know, my own body is not cooperating when one gets old. Of course, old age is not the only way to get realization. That's why there is a 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita to teach us. One can get a realization quite in a very early stage by awakening that knowledge about the three things, the living entity, the material nature, and the super soul. The living entity desires, and the super soul orders the material nature to fulfill that desire. Now, what is the problem here? We have been thinking I am the enjoyer, and we have been demanding the super soul to offer us facility for our enjoyment. But the problem is, the enjoyment that we have been demanding has always been a source of trouble to us, isn't it? Just like, you know, small children, they, you know, they study in the street side schools, you know, they go and buy this mithai, you know, which is covered with flies. You see that many times. They go and pay some 10 paisa. It looks very rose color, pink color, very attractive. They may buy that and eat it. But then they get infection afterwards. So what they consider to be pleasure becomes a source of disease, trouble later. Otherwise the children are fond of this, you know, 5-star chocolate, isn't it? Some children keep biting chocolate after chocolate, and later on all the teeth fall away very soon. You see that. So what is a source of pleasure becomes a source of pain later. But the living entity foolishly doesn't know that. What is not good for him, he thinks that's what he wants. So we have been from time immemorial demanding things which are harmful to us from the super soul, and super soul has been avoiding it, and we have been getting it, and we have been suffering, and it's going on. So here he says that if only we can realize that I am being accompanied by the super soul, the Lord within my heart, who, like a servant escorting a child, the Lord is coming with me, life after life after life in every species, and I am making foolish demands. Now I have to stop making those foolish demands. And I have to come to a point where I have to know what will be beneficial to me. And I myself don't know what is beneficial, so better depend on him. Better ask him only. My Lord, you tell me what is beneficial to me. So, I don't know, those who are parents have this experience. Many times parents know by dint of their experience of the material world what are all very dangerous to undergo, especially in childhood or in youth, you know. So they want to hand over that wisdom to their child in vain attempt. You will see that. Many times, parents will, hey, I have my experience, you know, I have done this in this world, you know, we have suffered this, we have suffered that. Now we don't want you to, you know, reinvent the same wheel, you know, going through the all the way and earn all the misery. Now simply gain this knowledge from me and keep quiet, you know. Tie your hands and legs, you know. Many parents, you know. Like, you know, many parents you meet, many parents tell me, whenever I meet any parents, wherever I travel, they always tell me that, please tell our child to be self-controlled. You know? Please tell our child to give up naughtiness, give mischievous activities, you know, not do this, not do that. You know? I used to ask them, why don't you tell? You know? We can't tell because we are also not following, you know. But you tell, you know. Many times people demand like that. But many times, you may have the knowledge, you may want to give to the child, but the child doesn't understand. You will see that. Many times there is a quarrel between father and son, father or sometimes grandfather and grandson, you find that, or mother and daughter, In families also you'll find. The parents will be trying to push that knowledge into their system and it will not work unless they experience it themselves, you know. Often it's the case, we see that. Similarly, the immature living entity invites so much trouble in this world, you know, birth after birth. So, at one point of time, he has to come to this point of realizing, I'll read, these are all taken from Prabhupada's purports only. Since the living entity's bondage is due to his attempt to take the position of the Lord, the conditioned soul can become free. How? By recognizing the Lord's position as the only factual enjoyer. Lord is a factual enjoyer. We are simply an imitator. Lord is a factual enjoyer. So Lord does many, many pastimes in the spiritual world. But the Lord's pastimes are eternal. They are never ending. They go on and on for all time. As I was telling you, the Lord's romance is eternal. The Lord's stunt scenes are eternal. The Lord's, Lord's activities are eternal. Where the living entity is actually a tiny part and parcel who is supposed to be a cooperator, not an imitator or a competitor. Living entity is neither a competitor nor is he supposed to be an imitator. See, when Lord comes in this world and does Leela here, you know what is Leela translated in English as? It's a voluntarily accepted role for enjoyment. That's called as Leela. Voluntarily accepted role for enjoyment. That is Leela. Whereas when the living entity tries to perform his Leela in this world, that is the forced role that is offered to the living entity for suffering. It is just the opposite. So the living entity is smiling and the living entity is weeping. Both are suffering. And the Lord's weeping and smiling are enjoyment. Both he performs. And he delights in that. Like, you know, Bhishma Pitama is sending so many arrows on Krishna's body. It's like, you know, flower garlands falling on him. The Lord is enjoying it. Our Lord is, feeling separation from Mother Sita. Lord Ram is feeling separation from Sita. Our Lord Krishna is feeling separation from Vrijavasis. These are all ever increasing the Lord's pleasure. So the Lord apparently suffering pain and the Lord enjoying happiness, both are spiritual bliss. Whereas for the living entity, it is just the opposite. So Prabhupada says the living entity can never be happy in this world. Somebody may ask a question, no, I have seen somebody very happy. And then Prabhupada says, if there is anything going on in this world in the name of happiness, that's called illusion. It's called illusion, he says. So that is why Bhagavatam says in one verse, only two people can smile in this world, a fool and a paramhams. So everyone else in between will experience misery in this world. If somebody says, I don't experience any misery, he is likely to be one of the two in this world. So, Lord is a factual enjoyer. And Lord enjoys every moment. If you want to know how the Lord enjoys, Lord is such a great enjoyer that he enjoys by becoming subordinate to his devotees. It is said that the greatest happiness Lord attains when his devotee takes a superior position to taunt the Lord, to taunt him, to chastise him, to catch his ears. So these are things which give him the greatest joy by becoming subordinate to his devotee. When a devotee takes a superior position out of love and chastises the Lord, that gives Lord the greatest bliss. And he enjoys this by becoming a child of Yashoda, by becoming a lover of the gopis, by becoming friend of the covered boys. In Vrindavan, nobody knows Krishna is God. In the material world, the atheists don't know God exists or not. Whereas in Vrindavan also, the Vrijavasis don't know Krishna is God. But what is the difference? The atheists don't know God due to their envy for God. The atheists in the material world don't know whether God exists or not because of their desire to not remember God. Krishna has put them in this situation. The super soul has helped them to become atheists because of the desire. Whereas in the spiritual world, the gopas and gopis and cows and calves, they don't know Krishna as God out of intense love for him. Out of intense love, they don't worry so much about Krishna's position as God. They only treat him as a friend, as a lover, as a parent, as a child. They treat like that. Just like a prime minister's mother. For her, the role of, you know, Manmohan Singh ji as a PM of India is not a very important thing for her. Somebody goes and tells her, do you know your son is prime minister of India? She will ask you, so what? For me, he is my son. You know, okay, maybe he is prime minister also. That's another thing. But that doesn't affect me in any way. He is prime minister for the Indian citizens. As far as I am concerned, I am his mother. She would say like that. Similarly for Vijayavasi, Krishna is first their friend. And then maybe a god also. Or sometimes demigod, they don't know. Sometimes they call him demigod also. Nanda Baba and other people, they call Krishna sometimes. Maybe he is a demigod, they are saying. So that is the kind of intense love the devotees of Vrindavan have, and Krishna enjoys that kind of relation. And Lord is always eternally situated in happiness. Happiness can never be taken away from him. That is called as a factual enjoyer. It's called as rasa vigraha. Whereas the living entity, when he comes to this world, he is miserable. And that misery also comes from illusion. Comes from his illusion of being the Lord. That's why there are two Purushas. Lord is a Purusha and we are Purusha. But what kind of Purusha are we? We are imitation Purusha. We are competitor Purusha. We are competitor to Krishna. So Purusha Pagrati Sohi Bhungte. That's why we suffer in this world. So the enjoyments of all this world are actually things that lead us to endless suffering, endless ocean of suffering. That's why he says that these three things have to be understood, the knowledge has to be understood, the Lord is saying here, in this 24th verse. One who understands this philosophy concerning material nature, the living entity, and the interaction of the modes of nature, is sure to attain liberation. He will not take birth here again, regardless of his present position. And then he says, some perceive the super soul within themselves through meditation, others through the cultivation of knowledge, Dhyana Yoga, Jnana Yoga, and still others through working without fruitive desires, Karma Yoga. And then he says, again, there are those who, although not conversant in spiritual knowledge, begin to worship the Supreme Person upon hearing about him from others. Because of the tendency to hear from authorities, they also transcend the path of birth and death. You see, we are talking about this knowledge just now. So how this knowledge is attained of these three things, the material nature, the soul and the super soul. That is done by Dhyana Yoga. For example, Dhyana Yogis, they meditate on, you know, this Yama, Niyama, Pranayama, Asana, Pratyahara, all that they do. And meditating on the tip of their nose. And then gradually, they go to the stage of Dhyana, Dharana, Samadhi. And then they have to meditate on the super soul, Paramatma in the heart. That is called as Ishwara Pranidhani in the Ashtanga Yoga system. So there are many things given, like for example, Ahimsa, Satyasteya, Brahmacharya, Yamaha. Then there is Shaucha Santosha, Swadhyaya, Tapaha. Like that, there is Niyamaha, there is Yama, Niyama, and then Pranayama one should do, then Pratyahara, then Dharana, Dhyana, then one comes to Samadhi. At which stage one is supposed to realize the super soul. So that is Dhyana Yoga. In Jnana Yoga, what they do? Jnana Yoga, they consider that I am actually a sample of God. Aham Brahmasmi. And meditating on that again and again and again, repeatedly, Aham Brahmasmi, Aham Brahmasmi, I am pure in quality. I am not impure. I am not this impure material element. I am not this material body. I am not this. So they are trying to detach themselves from the wrong perception. Here, in one of these verses, he says, one has to dissolve the material identity, he says, by realizing the spiritual identity. What it exactly means is, we have to get rid of the material designations. We all have so many material designations, like I am a male, I am a female, or I am tall, I am short, I am educated, I am uneducated, I belong to such and such state, I speak this language. People feel very strongly with their surnames, the families to which they belong to. It's very deep-rooted, ingrained in our system. The language we speak, the state we belong to, the country we belong to, the pigment of our body, and all these things, and educational qualifications and all these things. So all these things are to be dissolved. You can imagine how difficult the jnani's job is. One has to actually dissolve all these things. and realize that Aham Brahmasmi, I am completely a pure spirit soul. That's coming in the next verse. Samam Pashyant, that's coming. He says here, he's saying. That will be coming eventually. It's coming in the future verses, yeah. It's coming later, yeah. So, here one interesting thing Krishna says here, if you observe, in these two verses, people generally realize these three truths by calming the mind and practicing these three yogas. Jnana Yoga, Jnana Yoga and Karma Yoga. But then the later verse which he says is about Bhakti Yoga, where he says, it's very easily achieved simply by hearing. That is Bhakti Yoga. Simply by hearing from authorities. Hearing from disciplic succession. One can learn these three truths very, very easily. One doesn't have to do anything. Amongst all the activities that we do in our Bhakti Yoga, the topmost very vital activity is hearing. Regularly. From the pure sources like Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. This kind of literature. By regularly hearing, the knowledge will sink in, it will enter the ears, enter the heart, and gradually the awakening will come. Because, you know, as long as our mind is wandering here and there too much, or if you are always drowsy, in a drowsy state of consciousness, so passion and ignorance, they don't allow us to awaken the knowledge. But somehow, by repeated hearing, again and again the same knowledge, over a period of time, gradually the knowledge can awaken. Great devotees became great devotees by hearing. You'll be amazed to see in the scriptures examples of, you know, these yajnik Brahmins' wives. They had never seen Krishna before. They had only heard about Krishna. The descriptions of Krishna they had heard. And they had developed love for Krishna. And then later on, when Krishna Balaram appeared in the garden along with their covered boyfriends, they wanted prasad. So that was the first time they saw Krishna. Can you imagine how much their love they had for Krishna in the very first sight? Same thing is true with Rukmini also. Rukmini had never seen Krishna before. But Narada Muni would come to the court and he would glorify Krishna there. And Rukmini has been hearing. And then she developed such love for Krishna simply by hearing. Narada boy, he was a small boy, you know, son of a maid servant. He developed so much love for Krishna. He says, Thaddharma evatma ruchi prajayate. That ruchi, he says. I developed that intense taste for Krishna and Krishna consciousness. And he wanted to see the Lord. He had that longing simply by hearing. Prahlad Maharaj heard from Narada when he was in the womb of his mother. But then when he is telling his teachers, he says, my mind is attracted to Lord Krishna just like a iron filing is attracted to the magnet. Yeah. So how he developed this attraction? Simply by hearing. Regularly hearing about the glories of Krishna from devotee like Narada. So in the path of Bhakti Yoga, by that is why he says Shrotavya, Kirtitavyascha, Smartavyascha, Cha Ichchatabhayam. First thing he says Shrotavya. Shrotavya means the knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam is worthy of hearing. One should hear that knowledge. Shrotavya. Kirtitavyascha means one should speak about it. Smartavya means one should hold it in the mind and remember it. It's a pure message worthy of remembering also. So by that the awakening will come. Also Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Abhyasena tu kaunteya vairagyena chukrihate. By regular abhyas of chanting of the holy name, hearing the scriptures, one has to do it regularly. Some people become tired in a very short time. They feel, no, I've been coming to these classes for 1 year or 2 years. One has to be very patient. Your sadhaka should be very persistent. And then one will gradually see that the knowledge is getting awakened as time goes. Gradually. And how do we know the knowledge is getting awakened? He says here, see, I will again come back to this verse. See here, 27 to 35, this series of verses is called as vision of knowledge. The vision of knowledge. What is the vision of knowledge? Krishna is explaining here. O chief of the Bharatas, know that whatever you see in existence, both the moving and non-moving, is only a combination of the field of activities and knower of the field. Here Prabhupada says in the purport, the Supreme Lord is the controller of both the superior and inferior natures. The material nature is created by Him, and the superior nature is placed in this material nature. And thus all these activities and manifestations take place. So vision, He has given many steps. This is the first one He says. First thing we have to know is, when we look around in the world, we have to see that every body is a field. And in that field, there is one person sitting in each body. Like that we should see. Every person according to one's good karma, bad karma in the past. In every body, there is a soul sitting. And that is why, when we see like that, we also will know, we will not laugh at others' suffering. Somebody is walking in the road, they slip in a banana peel and they fall and break their back and people laugh. Ha ha ha, just see, he fell down. Or sometimes you find an old woman or a man, carrying a stick and trying to walk very slowly. Very, very old people, you have seen that? Somebody thinks, just see, what is this? How I am walking, why can't this person walk properly? So this is a sign of ignorance. Because if one can see that in every body, as Krishna explains in the beginning, Kshetrajna, there is a knower of the field sitting in every body, and every body is a field awarded to a person according to his past good karma and bad karma, and they have to endure suffering and enjoyment in that particular body. So that is the way one should see. The whole world one should see as filled with fields, and the knower of the field sitting in that respective bodies. That is one of the vision of the knowledge. And in this way, one should clearly see the distinction between the body and the soul. You see, in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna explains his knowledge, very important knowledge. He says, there are two verses, Nainam Shochitum Arhasi. In two verses, he uses the same word. He uses. What is the first line of this? Before that was Atachainam Nityajatam. What is that verse? One before that? Antamanta Yime Deha Nityasyokta Sharirinah Anashino Prameyasa Dasmat? Is it Dasubharata? Yeah. And then what is the verse before Atachainam Nityajatam? I think it is. Abhyaktyoyam Achintyoyam Abhikaryoyam Uchate Nityasarvagatastanu. Tasmadevam viditvainam nainam shochitum arhasi. Is it correct? Yeah. So he says, avyaktoyam, achintyoyam, avikaryoyam uchyate. So he is explaining about the soul in these two verses. In the next verse he says, atachainam nityajatam, nityam bhamanya semritam, tatapitvam mahabahu nainam shochitum arhasi. Now, what is this nainam shochitum arhasi? Again and again Krishna is saying two times, naina enam shochitum arhasi. You don't deserve to lament Arjuna when someone dies, he says. And he gives two arguments there. One is, if you clearly know the spiritual knowledge that Atma never dies, there is somebody in this body, the predominator in this body, there is somebody, the soul in this body, who is the one who gives life to the body, and by whose leaving the body is termed as dead. If you know that person, then why should you lament? Because you know that the soul has left the body, and that is a real person. And the body is simply a shell. Like if you see the bodies which are cremated in the shmashan, in the graveyards, if you see, the bodies are burnt to ashes. If you just wait for some time, you will see the skeleton comes to the top after some time. And the whole body, the whole flesh, the minute it's finished off, and the eyes pop up, sometimes it makes a big bursting sound. It makes a sound, it comes out like that. And then you find, and the whole ashes are lying there, and somebody comes with a broomstick, and they just, they just brush it aside. That's all is our body, just a pile of ashes. Nothing more than that. Is it not very frightening? Or if you see the Parsis, they put the body for the eagles and foxes and other creatures to eat. So they tear the body into pieces and they eat it, and then they pass tool everywhere, and that's the end of the body. Metal body is like that. So the Shastras very much emphasize the importance of remembering the temporary nature of the body. It is very important. See, knowing, I don't say knowing. Knowing, everyone knows. But you have to remember. Remembering is the greatest difficulty. All of us know that the body is temporary. How many times have you heard it? But you only tend to forget it. So this body simply turns into a pile of ashes or turns into some stool of an animal or a bird. That's the condition of this body. So, that's why it says, antamatta ime deha. That is the condition of the body. But then what happens to the soul? You know that the soul is avyaktoyam, achintyoyam, avikaryoyam. The soul will never be spoiled. The soul can never be touched by all these bodily things. He is completely divine, transcendental. He has gone to the next destination. If you know that truth, there is nothing to lament, isn't it? And the next verse he gives, another argument Krishna gives. He says, okay, if somebody claims that I am an atheist, I don't believe in the soul. I feel that, you know, at the time of death, everything is finished. There is only body. Body is everything. Like there is a class of Vaisheshika philosophers who argue that, you know, if you take a bopla, if you take a stick and a steel wire, some string, you know, individually they can't do anything. But you combine them and you make a kind of a stringed instrument, then it produces a sound. Tung, 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 you know, it produces a sound. Similarly, they say, this body is made up of material elements, but it is so precisely combined with certain material elements which gives rise to life. That is their arguments. It's atheistic philosophy. It's called Vaisheshika philosophy or Buddhist philosophy. The material elements, when combined in a certain proportion, will give rise to life emotions. That is their feeling. That is their understanding. Of course, that has no any authoritative basis in any scripture or anything. This is a concoction. But how is their concoction defeated? So that is what Krishna very vividly explains about how in a living body there is thinking, there is feeling, there is willing, there is experience of consciousness. And all these things, these emotions can never be brought about by any kind of combination of chemicals. In fact, modern scientists are also arguing on the same grounds. They are trying to combine the chemicals and pass some electricity. And trying to create life. And they have tried it several times. Like, you know, Prabhupada's disciple Bhaksaru Damodar Maharaj was studying in Illinois University abroad. So, in one of the conferences, one gentleman, one scientist came and said, now we clearly know what are the chemicals present in a body of a human being. We have completely separated all of them and we can synthesize them together also. We can separate them and resynthesize them. We can do that. He was talking. So, Bhaksaru Damodar Maharaj asked a question to that scientist. Sir, I will give you all these chemicals separately. Only these chemicals I will give you. Can you combine them to bring about life? You combine them, pass electricity, pass whatever you want in that. But can you create life? He asked. And that man said, oh, that I don't know. He said, we have been trying, it's not happening. So he came back and told Prabhupada. Prabhupada, I asked him this question. Everyone in the audience was stunned, they got applause. Everyone appreciated. And Prabhupada was so jubilant when he heard it. He immediately spoke it in so many subsequent lectures about this. When he came to India also, he was speaking about it. He said, my disciple, you know, he asked the scientist this question. You combine the chemicals, you know, I'll give you the chemicals. Can you combine them to form life? And Prabhupada spoke it in Life Comes from Life also. You'll see that, isn't it? By any amount of combination of chemicals, you cannot produce life. Just not possible. Life comes from? Life only, yeah. So, and that life comes actually from Atma, one can understand. But then Krishna argued, even from the atheistic point of view, he said, even if you accept there is no Atma, okay, then only body is there and body is finished. Then why should you lament for that body to be finished? Because, for example, if you say the body is a lump of chemicals, every day there are so many chemical industries which are throwing out so much waste from the company, isn't it? From a chemical laboratory, so much chemicals are thrown out. Every time do they lament, people? Every time they're throwing a jug of chemical outside, do they cry? No. If body is also simply a lump of chemical, then why lament when the body dies? And in other words, the contents of the material body always exist in one form or the other. Right now the body has a form and everything. When the body is disintegrated, it will exist as earth, water, fire, air, ether and all those things. So in one sense it is existing. Even after a person dies, then why should you lament? He asked. So both sides is arguing. So, and then Prabhupada explains, the Lord in conclusion explains about how the reality is that the soul is different from the body. And why we lament in this world? Because we identify with the body. That is the main reason. When the soul, when we identify, like I identify myself as this material body, and I identify all of you with your material bodies, that's why the lamentation comes when somebody dies. Otherwise there is no lamentation at all. Because you know the soul has left the body and gone to another destination. There's no lamentation. So, there is a section in, this is a Bhagavatam, very interesting section. This is 7th canto, chapter 2. And there is a series of verses where Yamaraj is speaking. Yamaraj is coming in the form of a small boy, you know. When one king, Swigna, one king, he dies in the battlefield, and all the queens and other people come to that place and they're lamenting for a long time. And it is time in the evening, Sandhya time, when his body is supposed to be sent for cremation, burning. But the queens are not leaving the body. So Yamaraj comes as a small boy to preach to them such amazing wisdom. See, he's saying here, while the queens were lamenting for the dead body of the king, their loud cries were heard even from the abode of Yamaraj. Assuming the body of a boy, Yamaraj personally approached the relatives of the dead body and advised them as follows. Sri Yamaraj said, alas, how amazing it is. This verse is, I think it is 7 to 37. Alas, how amazing it is. These persons who are older than me have full experience that hundreds and thousands of living entities have taken birth and died. Thus they should understand that they are also apt to die. Yet still they are bewildered. The conditioned soul comes from an unknown place and returns after death to that same unknown place. There is no exception to this rule, which is conducted by material nature. Knowing this, why do they uselessly lament? And then he's saying this very important verse, this 38, verse number 38.
Aho vayam dhanyatamaya datra chakta pitrubhyana vichintayama abhakshyamana abalavrikadivi sarakshita rakshati yohi garbhe.
He says, it is wonderful that these elderly women do not have a higher sense of life than we do. Indeed, we are most fortunate. For although we are children and have been left to struggle in material life, unprotected by father and mother, and although we are very weak, we have not been vanquished or eaten by ferocious animals. Thus we have a firm belief that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has given us protection even in the womb of the mother, will protect us everywhere. So the last line is saying, Sa Rakshita Rakshati Yohi Garbhe. Avakshamana Abala Avrikadivihi. He is saying that I am a small boy and I am in the forest here, but you know I am not eaten by some ferocious animals like a tiger or a lion. And how am I protected? Not that my mother and father are with me. Now I am alone. There is no one around me. But how am I protected? That very same super soul, the Lord, who protected me in my mother's womb, is also now protecting me. So one will get this vision, one will get. When one is awakened in the knowledge, then one will not only see everybody as a knower of the field sitting in their respective fields, one will also see that they are also accompanied by the super soul who is protecting everyone at all circumstances. In that connection, Krishna says in that next verse, if you see, yeah, one who sees the super soul equally present everywhere in every living being does not degrade himself by his mind. Thus he approaches the transcendental destination. What is the meaning of, you know, when he sees super soul present everywhere in every living being, he does not degrade himself by the mind? There is a understanding of this. Degrading oneself by the mind means, for example, sometimes we are put in materially unfortunate circumstances, and then you know, we immediately start lamenting. Why did this happen to me? Why only to me? Why it should not happen to others? So in our mind we sometimes lose faith in God. Sometimes we lose faith in scriptures. Sometimes we lose faith in the process of Krishna consciousness. So we, by facing certain difficult circumstances in life. Similarly, sometimes we are faced with insults from other people. When others insult us, what do we immediately think? Why that person has wronged me like this? Or why that person has offended me like this? Isn't it? So this kind of tendency is very natural in conditioned souls. But when one, as soon as one starts seeing the soul in each body and also super soul accompanying them, then one will know that the super soul is arranging these situations and arranging these insults through the mouths of different people to purify me. One can see like that. And thus one will not degrade in one's mind. That's the meaning. All these material circumstances are simply a turn of events. Good or bad, favorable or unfavorable, whatever they are all arranged. And also, whatever people speak different things to me, they are all like a test for us. At every day, every day, every moment is like a test for us, whether we have really improved our vision of the super soul, or we are still blind to see the super soul. If you are seeing the super soul, we will know it is by the order of the super soul this person is behaving like that with me, or the mental circumstances are not favorable to me, they are unfavorable to me. One can see like that. So one will not degrade himself by his mind. So this small boy, Yamaraj, as a small boy, he is saying, Sa Rakshita, Rakshati Yohi Garbe. What kind of wisdom it is, you see. He says, that Lord who protected me in the womb of my mother, who is the only silent witness with every soul, accompanying the soul, life after life after life. He is there with us while living in the body. When we die also, you know, the wife and family, they remain at home. The relatives come up to the forest, isn't it? And then when the body is burnt, everyone says tata and goes away. No one is with you. And who comes with you? The super soul. He accompanies you. And then karmana devanetrena jantur deho papati striyo pravishta udaram humsa hireta kanashre. So in the next body, he is the one who takes you to the next body. And alerts you the next body. And so he is the only friend, the most well-wishing friend. And he is also an all-knowing friend. He is accompanying us. So one should see that Lord's presence as a protector of every one of us. Lord is not only the protector, the Lord is also, this is also from the purport of the purport. The super soul is ever present with the soul, accompanying him through the course of material existence. One who understands this does not degrade himself by his mind. So when one sees the super soul everywhere, in control of every event, he will not feel like a victim when unfavorable material situations arise. One will not say, oh, why did this happen to me only? You feel like a victim. You don't feel like that when you see the super soul. Nor will he be offended or wronged by another's behavior towards him. Rather, he will see the super soul utilizing those situations and people as instruments for his personal purification. Utilizing those people and situations as instruments for our personal purification. So this is what and then after this, there's a very beautiful verse. Therefore, why lament the change of a dress? And then Prabhupada says here, very important sentence. The mental body has no factual existence in relation to the eternal soul. It is something like a dream. The Vedic wisdom encourages self-realization on the basis of the non-existence of material body. This is the most important sentence. The Vedic wisdom encourages self-realization on the basis of the non-existence of the material body. Which means, the Vedas always remind us that the material body is like a changing dress. It's a perishable dress. And you will have to cast it away one day. And you are the unchangeable principle in the body. Unchanging soul. That should always remember. So on one hand we are talking about the soul. On the other hand we are talking about the super soul. So both this knowledge is important. And thirdly, to see that the soul is not the factual enjoyer. The super soul is the factual enjoyer. And the soul is only desirer. And the super soul is the one who has the capability to order the material nature to function. That's very, very important to realize. Otherwise, one will be punished by Durga Devi. Durga, she's the agent of material nature, isn't it? And Durga is actually the material agent. And she is simply working under Krishna's direction. Krishna has ordered Durga to keep all the living entities in her clutches and purify them, like a police purifies a thief by beating them, isn't it? So Durga also purifies them in the same manner, by really grinding them in this material world in various ways. Basically, Prabhupada explains, if you read this verse in Bhagavatam, Yaya Sammohito Jiva Atmana, you can read the purport, very beautiful purport to this verse. That Prabhupada says, a father would never like to beat his son, or the father would never like to punish his son. But when the son becomes very mischievous and naughty, and he does not perform his duty, then the father appoints a teacher to, you know, bring him to proper platform. So Krishna does the same thing. Krishna doesn't want to punish the living entities directly. So he sends them to material world. He wants to enjoy, so he enjoys. And Krishna also expands himself as super soul and accompanies them and provides them facility to enjoy. And at the same time, he also has kept Durga Devi to also give them the understanding that they can't be happy in this world, alone, away from Krishna. So one has to come to the point of realization that the super soul is a factual enjoyer. One who sees the super soul equally present everywhere in every living being does not degrade himself by his mind. So text number 27, which we read before, the point we learnt was, realized person can distinguish between spirit and matter. That was the first thing we learnt. And text number 28, he says, he sees the indestructible super soul accompanying indestructible living entity. That is text number 28. Both are indestructible, soul and the super soul, both. So we can see those two things. Then text 29, he says, thus seeing super soul everywhere, he acts in proper knowledge and never degrades himself by pursuing selfish desires of the mind. That is also another meaning. So that we learnt in 29. And then in 30, here he says, one who can see that all activities are performed by the body, which is created of material nature, and sees that the self does nothing, he actually sees. See, in the last points of the purport, Prabhupada says that, practically speaking, the body is a machine designed by the Supreme Lord to fulfill desires. Prabhupada calls in one of his lectures our material body as a pushing machine. You know why he calls it pushing machine? He says, first he says the body has this vachavegam. Vachavegam means the tendency to speak too much. Talk always. And then he says, then there is mind's demands. And the mind says, you go there, and we have to go there. The mind literally orders one to go. And Prabhupada says there that the senses are loyal servants to the mind. Don't blame the senses. Whose servants are they?
Mind.
They are mind senses. And whatever the mind tells them to do, they will do. And if the mind is polluted, when the mind is not pure, Prabhupada says, your mind will tell you, now take me to your liquor shop. And all the senses, leg will walk. Very faithfully, he will walk and take the whole body to the liquor shop. Because the senses simply follow the mind. Now you may say, no, I want to go to temple. So first you will start to the temple and the mind will say, no, I want to go to liquor shop. You will drag him to liquor shop. That is the way the mind is. The mind will degrade a person. That is the that's mind's demands. Then he says, the krodha vegam. Some people become so angry, they even murder. Other people hear a murder in the paper. Why? Because they had uncontrollable anger. Like that. Similarly, the jihva vegam. The tendency for having taste in the tongue. Like sometimes, for example, even after eating, sometimes there is some nice sweet. Your stomach is already full, but you find some nice sweet is kept on the table. Now you can't control. You feel even after stomach is full, you know that, you know, it's not good for you, still you eat it. Isn't it? Like I've seen, sometimes people, even if they have a habit of eating morning, evening, afternoon, somebody calls them for lunch, they won't mind eating third time. No, your friend, you're calling me, what can I do? You know, I can't say no. Whether it's because the friend is calling or the tongue is calling, you know, isn't it? Isn't it? Isn't it? So Prabhupada is saying, that means you are not Goswami, you are Godas, you are Jivadas. Huh? You are servant of the tongue, Prabhupada is saying, like that. Huh? So, similarly, Vachavegam, Manasavegam, Krodhavegam, Jigvavegam, Budharavegam, Upasthavegam. So Prabhupada is saying, all these vegams, they are all pushing, pushing, pushing a person to do. So the whole body is a pushing machine, Prabhupada is saying. He's calling it a pushing machine. Practically speaking, this body is a machine designed by the Supreme Lord to fulfill the desires. Because of desires, one is put into different difficult circumstances to suffer or to enjoy. This transcendental vision of the living entity, when developed, makes one separate from bodily activities. So, one should see this body as a pushing machine and oneself as a living entity different from the body. Yeah? And one who is constantly being dragged by the different senses. How can we escape this pushing? So, anybody knows? What is the way to escape this? I recently was reading this point in one place. Prabhupada gives solution to this also. He doesn't leave us stranded in the road. There's a solution how to overcome this pushing machine. Oh, how can we become apuryamanam achala pratishtham samudramapa pravashanti adbhat? How we can become like that? Simply witnessing our desires, keep quiet? How is it possible?
Make these activities Krishna conscious.
That in NY. Eat lot of prasad.
Solution to all these activities in NY, one by one. How one can control the mind, how can, by engaging in remembering Krishna always. How one can
engaging all the different senses in Krishna service. Yeah, that is also true. But Prabhupada talks about leading a regulated life of tapasya. Disciplined life. Yeah. We have to live a life of discipline and there should be regulation, regulated life. And also another thing he says is about abhyas. He says, for example, when you say no, whatever you do in our life, it's by practice only. For example, we learn wrong things also by practice. If one of our devotees came and confided to me, honestly, that, you know, we used to make this pedas, you know, this pedas we make. That is for giving to very big people, you know, for donors and all we used to. So this devotee had a habit of sometimes eating this pedas. So what happens, you are told to give this peda to big people. You take it and then you consume it. And then one day you eat one peda and the next day you want to eat one more. No? And then you get used to this habit. And one day if you don't have peda, then your mind goes crazy. Oh, today I have to eat something at this time. So we will see that you get used to certain bad habits. And then it becomes a habit and it's very difficult to give it up. So Prabhupada says the solution is to starve, to say no to the senses when they especially demand. One has to say no. And then we will get the saying no habit. And then by getting the saying no habit again and again, do the abhyas for some time and it will go away. It will be finished over a period of time. And it is possible to conquer the senses. Because we are not just starving them or suppressing the senses, as Prabhuji rightly said, we are also sublimating by, you know, Krishna conscious activities and substitutes. But if the mind is making an unreasonable demand, we have to say a very strong no. Because, you know, there may be some demands that the mind makes which are within the limits of four regulative principles. But if the mind is making a demand which is outside the four regulative principles, what you should do? You have to say very strong no. Sometimes you see the pen we have, you know. For example, if you have a pen. Yeah. Actually, not just a pen. So you have this pen. Sometimes, you know, if you remove this, you move it up to this, you know. In those days, we used to have a steel, this thing. You move it up to this, then what happens? Remains like that. Yes. Isn't it? And then later on, you try to push it back. You think it will come back?
No.
Again, it will be like this. You can't put it in your pocket. It will remain like this only. Even if you push whatever you push. What you have to do, you have to remove this and pull it out and move it beyond, you know, beyond this point. If you have made it like this, now you move it up to this. And then you put it back like this, then it will come like this. You have seen that? You know? So, You all know this, no? You tried this. How many of you tried and done this? Now we learned a very valuable lesson from this. You know what it is? Sometimes if we have sensed some wrong tendency in us, you should give such a hammering of against that habit that, you know, there is no room for that habit to be practiced. You know the story of the king who gave a goat. He actually had a goat. He told people, anybody can take this goat and tame the goat in such a way that the goat will never want to see green, never want to eat anything green. Have you ever seen a goat not eating green? He said, actually many people tried that. They miserably failed. You know, some or other goat was again and again going to the green. And all of them got punishment, severe punishment from the king. But one man boldly took that goat. After 1 month he brought the goat. So when he brought it near the king, and the king, as soon as he showed the green, immediately the goat immediately turned the other side. You take the green, he immediately turned this side. So he was wondering how. So he asked, what did you do? So this man said, how you trained? You know how you trained? What this man would do every day, he would show a little greenery to the goat. When he would come near, he would take a stick and beat him on the mouth. Pat! He would give a beating. The goat would experience such a pain, you know. And every day he will try again and beat him. Of course, this is a very severe form of treatment. So the treatment which I was telling you. But sometimes, Manamora Pagala, he says, in one song he says, mind is a mad mind, crazy mind. So, yeah, Manaya Pagala Mora. This mind is such a crazy mind, sometimes we have to be very hard on the mind. And by depriving the unreasonable demands made by the mind and accepting regulated lifestyle and also practicing Abhyas. Abhyas is chanting the holy name and following the Patya, the four regulated principles. Following it in our life, we will be able to very gradually over a period of time completely conquer the mind. Goswami. That's the difference between Goswami and Godas. Godas means we are servants of this thing, mind and senses. So, no, senses cannot be blamed because above the senses, the mind is a master, rascal master. So master has to be controlled first. And then Prabhupada says in 31, when a sensible man ceases to see different identities due to different material bodies, and he sees how the beings are expanded everywhere, he attains to Brahman conception. He sees only the soul in each body, the Brahman he sees. In the verse number 30, we learned he sees neither he nor others are acting. Yeah, only the body acts in this world, but living in it is distinct from the field of activities. Never mixing with the body. See, he says in 32 verse, if you see. Those with the vision of eternity can see that the imperishable soul is transcendental, eternal and beyond the mortal nature. Despite contact with the material body, O Arjuna, the soul neither does anything nor is entangled. So, what Lord Krishna is saying here, the soul is simply sleeping inside, in everyone's body in this world, and everyone is appearing to be active in this world. How are they active? Prakrite, kremanani, gunai karmani, sarvashaka. The three modes of material nature are making everyone a puppet in their hands. Just like everyone in this world is like a toy which is given key, you know. Sometimes you give a key, you know. It takes some time to give the key. Once you give the key, leave it on the hand and they will move in. Tap, 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 tap. You have seen the toy?
Yeah.
Everyone is like that in this world. They are all made to dance by the gunas in which they are situated. Rajaguna, tamaguna, sattoguna. Everyone is acting. And what is the soul doing? He is peacefully sleeping inside. He only desires and goes to sleep. That's all. That's all. He doesn't do any activity. Prakrite kremanani. Now you may ask, but the soul is very active, he's supposed to do activity, what does he do? The soul very comfortably identifies himself with the body and he imagines I am active. But actually he is not active, the material mode, the material nature, they make him active. They make him really like a joker. He becomes like a buffoon or a joker in this world. That is a foolish living entity. And identifying with the body also leads to identifying with all the designations. That brings forth innumerable sukha and dukha. The tag of sukha dukha is attached to designations. You identify with the designation, finished. Immediately along with that will come sukha dukha for you. If you win something, you have to be happy. If you lose something, you have to lament. So, the Sukha-Dukha tag is attached to every designation in this world. So, he undergoes all that. That's why he is saying that a person with proper vision is aloof from this. And then he says, so he gives two examples, very interesting examples Krishna gives here. One is very difficult to understand example. One is the sky, due to subtle nature, does not mix with anything, he is aloof. Another example he gives is the sun. If you see, for example, the sun illuminates even impure places, but he doesn't get contaminated. He remains aloof. A sun may illuminate dark places and any place in this world. Similarly, the soul is the one which gives life to the body, he says. Like in the material body, whatever life we perceive in this body, the purpose is, what is the material body? It's a piece of flesh which is flapping only for a few moments, or it is like a bubble in the ocean. Like a bubble appears, stays for some time and explodes. Body is like that. But how this body, flapping body, appears like having life? Because the soul is making it have life. And so he gives example of sun. It's like the sun is illuminating, but sun remains aloof. Soul also remains aloof from this body. He is not affected. Those who see with eyes of knowledge the difference between the body and the knower of the body, and can also understand the process of liberation from bondage and material nature, attain to the supreme goal. So you can see the conclusion, last part of the chapter, last purport. Purport, last paragraph. One can understand that this body is matter. It can be analyzed with its 24 elements. The body is the gross manifestation. The subtle manifestation is the mind and psychological effects, and the symptoms of life for the interaction of these features. But over and above this, there is soul, and there is also the super soul. The soul and the super soul are two. Material world is working by the conjunction of the soul and the 24 material elements. One who can see the constitution of the whole material manifestation as this combination of the soul and material elements, and can also see the situation of the supreme soul, becomes eligible for transfer to the spiritual world. These things are meant for contemplation and for realization, and one should have a complete understanding of this chapter with the help of the spiritual master. So we have to call the spiritual master. So Prabhupada is the preeminent Shiksha Guru of everyone in ISKCON. So by reading these purports nicely and digesting these principles and contemplating on them, gradually we will see these truths. You see, sometimes the knowledge may be with us, but we may not have the realization. For example, Hiranyakashipu is speaking to his mother and sisters after Hiranyaksha's death. And he's speaking a lot of wonderful things about the soul. He's telling them that the soul never dies, please do not worry. The body is like a dress which perishes, but the soul never dies. He gives so many examples for them. He says that all the living beings, they are like people who come to a restaurant, they come together, they eat, and they all disperse in different directions, they go away. So he says it's like that. So he speaks very big knowledge, as if like a very, very knowledgeable man. But the problem is, he does not apply that knowledge in his life. So he doesn't get any practical realization of the truth. So this is a very great danger in spiritual life. One thing is knowledge, which is bookish knowledge, and the another one is the practical realization of the knowledge. So those who not only hear this knowledge, but they also apply it, they will gradually feel a sense of dependence on the super soul more and more. As the super soul realization dawns, they will see the super soul as the actor and themselves as a non-actor in this world. And super soul as a sanctioner, super soul as the overseer and the permitter and the director of their lives, and the director of everyone's life, and the director of the material nature, and the director of all the actions that take place all around us. And they will see super soul present so prominently in this world, all the other things of this world will become puny and trivial for them. And that is how the insults and all those things which is explained here, the praises, neither the praises nor the insults make any big difference to a devotee. The reason is this only. because he sees that ultimately Super Soul is the one who is orchestrating all these things. So that is actually the purpose of this 13th chapter, to understand the field, the knower of the field, and the second superior knower of the field, the Super Soul, that interaction. This knowledge is superior to the knowledge given in second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, because in second chapter of Bhagavad Gita also there is knowledge about the soul being different from the body, and the body being like a shirt. All that is given in the second chapter. But here, the interaction of the material elements with the soul, the interaction of the soul with the material elements is very vividly explained in 13th chapter. Much, much more detailed knowledge. And the most vital part of this knowledge is the soul should realize that I am not the factual enjoyer. Super soul is the master. I am a cooperator. I am a servant. I am an instrument in his plan. And by following his instructions as given in the scriptures, I will attain my true glory. You should come to that realization. If I try to enjoy, I'll be frustrated. You should know this fact. And if I assist in the Lord's plan and I act according to his will, that will bring me happiness. Because he knows what is good for me more than I know about myself. He knows information about me better than I know about my body or the mind. So that realization every individual soul has to come. So it's a very philosophical, deep chapter. 14th chapter is much easier. 14th chapter we will be discussing on the three modes of material nature, next chapter. Three modes of material nature, understanding what is Rajagun, Tamagun, Chatagun, it's much easier. 15th chapter also is pretty easy. 13th chapter is quite philosophical. Thank you very much. So I went a bit late to complete the chapter today.